Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
We'll talk to Lindy Ruff in an hour. They're out west, the Sabres are, for a little trip, so we've pushed Lindy back a bit. We'll check in with Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline to chat about the Sabres and some moves they made. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, guys. I was going to piggyback a little on your first-round guys conversation. I like McLeod, and they gave up one of those first-round picks to get McLeod.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's turned into a real—he's just what they needed. You know, they needed a good two-way guy. I think he's been a little bit more offensive than maybe some people expected. He can skate. I mean, he makes them a lot faster. So that was one first-round pick they turned into him. Austlin had told them when they drafted him he was going to play overseas for 2 years. He did that. Now he played 6 games with the Amherst and he got hurt. When I was writing about Roseanne yesterday, I kind of agree with you. I'm not real excited about the prospect of him becoming much of a NHL guy, but you still don't know at age, 21, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
That could, I suppose, turn around. In the 7 games he played last year, I wasn't real excited about what I saw. I'm looking forward to the guy they got this year, Hellenius. Austlin, I really liked in the prospects tournament. So now that he's here in North America, we'll see what kind of development they can get out of him. Those two players are kind of like the same. I actually thought if the Sabres were going to trade one of their picks, it might be Austlin because Hellenius is just like him, but it wound up being Savoy.
Yeah, really, on this, Paul, like, we were talking about the first-round picks and how, like, they've drafted a bunch of them, but, like, where are they? Like, really, the where are they for me, because you're right to point out McLeod. The guy, based on timelines, how long development takes, and then, you know, you get your rookie season out of the way, the first-round pick that really you should be looking at for production on this team right now that you're not getting it from is Jack Quinn.
Yes. And I'm not surprised by much. I'm very surprised by that. I really am. I mean, last year he only played 27 games, but he was on almost a 30-goal pace. When he played, I thought he played well and he was producing. Now he's not even like, boy, he had a couple of great opportunities. He's not even getting the opportunities, which, you know, tells me that, you know, he's still being hindered in some way, from the injuries that he's suffered so far. It's kind of like Samuelson. If Samuelson could ever get back to where he was when he first got up to Buffalo, you got a really good defenseman. But have injuries taken their toll so much on this guy that will he ever be able to get back to that? I mean, that's a huge question mark. Injuries do take a toll on your body, but that's the only thing I can think of Quinn. I don't have a lot of answers there for him because I thought with the shot and the release he has that this guy is going to be a 30-goal scorer in the league. There was no question in my mind, and he still could be. But you got to get some scoring opportunities to be able to score 30 goals.
Paul, this seems like a bigger picture thing. We're talking to Paul Hamilton ahead of the Sabres trip out west. You know, the Don Granato years, without making this point just Granato to Lindy, the Granato year of growth was about players finding another level and development all going in the right direction for a lot of different guys. And it sounds like right now what we're talking is about a number of guys that have either plateaued or are coming back a bit. I mean, I might want, like, if we're going for the full list here, we're at Cousins, Quinn, Samuelson, sure. Levi's going back down. He's not playing well. That might be a different animal.
Should I even bother to force Dahlin into this? Because he certainly played better 2 years ago than he has since.
Yeah, like, again, without saying it's Lindy's fault, it seems like you're just talking about a number of players who individually are not currently going in the right direction.
Yeah, and Cousins is starting to play a little bit better. Who knows what direction that is going to end up in, because we certainly have seen him play some good hockey, and we've seen him play some hockey where he struggled. When it comes to Cousins and Dahlin, I think they just get so crazy in their mind that it affects, you know, Dahlin. I mean, here we are with the penalty thing again. I mean, and Clifton is going to pay the price. I'm fine with that. That wasn't a real smart cross-checking penalty he took. I mean, you're at Philadelphia. You don't have your leading goal scorer, and you take a penalty, right, you know, pretty much right away, a cross-checking penalty, which doesn't need to be taken. You got away with that one. Now you take another penalty, and next thing you know, you leave the period down 2-0. And now let's let Dahlin step in. Because Ruff said after the game, he's getting tired of these penalties. He's been bringing it up, and people are going to start paying with ice time. Well, we already know Clifton is not playing for Wednesday. Henry Jokiharju is back in the lineup, so he's going to pay the price. But what happened in the second period, down 2-0? The Sabres' power play is red hot. They finally got their first power play of the game. You score a power play goal there, it's 2-1. How long did it take Rasmus Dahlin to get beat and take a penalty?
It's unbelievable.
I mean, It was like 20 seconds, and he took away the power play. Okay, things happen. So now they get another penalty, power play a couple of minutes later. Guess who takes a slashing penalty to take the power play away? Rasmus Dahlin.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
He loses his head. And then he winds up scoring a power play goal later, but it's 4-0 by that point. If he scores the power play goal when it's 2-0 and makes it 2-1, now maybe we're having a totally different conversation about how that game ends up. But I'm not trying to be a smart aleck or funny at all by saying this. There is one player that misses Don Granato desperately, and it's Rasmus Dahlin. Because Granato, when Dahlin was not playing very well 2 or 3 years ago, Granato made a conscious decision that he is going to build this guy up after every single practice, after every single game. He stood at a podium and told us what a great player and what a great game and what a great practice and everything about it. Didn't matter if he had a great game or not. He stood up there and it got embarrassing after a while. But you know what? Don Granato didn't care. If he could get the best out of Rasmus Dahlin by showing him that he cares and that he's got his back, he didn't care if he stood up there and made a fool of himself. And it worked. Rasmus Dahlin really started playing well. I think he just said to himself, my coach has my back. And off he went. And now this year, it's just a season to nowhere. I mean, he has just been awful for most of the year. His offense is starting to come back a little bit. But he just cannot operate. And, you know, I swallowed the Kool-Aid. In the beginning, when it became evident to me, it's like, well, the way he's building up Dahlin, he's the next captain of the Sabres, and I don't think it's a good idea at all. And then it grew on me. And by last year, I'm saying, you know what, I think maybe I was wrong. I think it is a good idea. And I remember saying at locker cleanout day, Tage Thompson, I thought, wow, this guy might be a pretty good captain. But I didn't really change my mind off Dahlin. I thought, yeah, Dahlin, you know, has really come along with Granato to take the next step and everything. He really does. They all care, but he really does care. But his temper gets in the way of him. And then, you know, they're losing. So then he thinks he has to win the game all by himself. But it's the temper, the part where he takes the stupid penalties and makes the dumb play. How about that play at center ice where he's sitting there tied up with a guy as the rush is coming his way, and he's standing there at the blue line trying to start a fight, and next thing you know, the puck's in the net. It's like, what are you doing? You know, your captain can't be doing that. And the more I sit and listen to Tage Thompson almost every single interview, I thought to myself, I was wrong. Tage Thompson should be the captain of this team. But you can't change it now, because if you take the captaincy away from Dahlin now, you got to trade him.
I'm trying to think, like, how many times it's happened where you've done that, where the guy that gets it stripped isn't old, right? Like, didn't the Leafs do this? They took it off Tavares and gave it to Matthews.
But Tavares was right on board. It wouldn't. I didn't hear this, but it wouldn't surprise me if Tavares went to the Leafs and said, you know what, I think Matthews should be the captain. I'm all for it.
Right, right. What all I'm getting at is timelines there. It's like, all right, you're an aging vet. You don't need it. It's, you know, a handing of the torch.
Patrick Marleau.
Okay, Marleau, a handing of the torch, that kind of thing. To take it off a guy supposed to be in his prime seems like, yeah, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Brown with the LA Kings, they did that too.
Okay. Well, Paul, the Sabres have a streak of trading their captains. I mean, you know.
Well,
yeah, but the way he's playing now with the contract he has, I don't know. Is,
yeah.
Is it a tradable contract right now?
Wow. I mean, these are dark times for the Sabres, who are.
People get all excited, I'm not saying they should trade Rasmus
Dahlin. No, I know.
I'm just saying he has a contract that would make it very difficult. I am not willing to give up on him at all yet, but it's not going well right now, and it's frustration and him losing his head. He runs hot, and then he does something dumb, and it winds up in their net.
Speaking of in the net, Paul. Levi, we got you on, among other things, to talk about Devin Levi and him going down to Rochester. He's going to need to play. They're not getting good play from Levi. I don't know if they can expect anything better from Reimer, so the idea is to make sure Levi gets some development time.
Yeah, he had to. It just wasn't working up here. He had gone almost a month playing one game when Luukkonen, who has to play to be good, played 9 to 10 games, and Luukkonen was starting to be Luukkonen again. And that's the problem they have right now with their two young goaltenders. As I'm starting to watch their habits and everything, they're both goalies that if they're going to be good, they got to play a lot. Well, you can't play them both a lot. The alternating goaltender worked for Levi. It didn't work for Luukkonen. He wasn't as good as he was last year. As soon as he got the net for 9 out of 10 games, right before the Montreal game, which he played injured, he had like a 1.49 goals against in like 4 or 5 starts and a very high save percentage. I think he was up around 940. He was starting to look like Luukkonen again, but he's got to play a lot. And, you know, Levi told Lindy Ruffin, I think he said in an interview too, that this is the first time he's ever had to sit. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to handle it. So I think both could be good goalies in the NHL eventually, but I don't think they can be a tandem, because in order for them, either one of them, to be a good goalie, they have to play a lot. And so the Sabres are going to have in the next year or two, are going to have to make a decision on which one they're going to go with. And Levi, you know, wouldn't shock me if it's not this summer, the next summer, if it goes like this and Luukkonen continues to be the number one goalie, if he would ask to be traded, because you know he wants to play. And honestly, in order for him to be a really good goalie, I think he does have to play a lot.
Kings, Ducks, Sharks on this Western trip. Paul's appearance brought to you by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Thanks, Paul.
Take care, guys.
We'll talk to Lindy Ruff about some of these issues coming up at 9:30. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.